I'm Ed Rose, and this is Citizen Kane. Each week on this broadcast, I uncover little-known facts and forgotten memories from the hilltop. This week's program remembers the end of the horse era in Kane. Our town owes much of its early history and development to the railroad, without which the verdant forests of the Seneca Highlands region would have been almost impossible to reach. Curiously, it was the coal and steam engine that would soon make the horse king of the road. While rail lines facilitated regional travel from city to city and points in between in the mid to late 19th century, getting across town and to market on the hilltop was almost always accomplished by foot. When the railroads brought the great oil excitement and the coming of the industrial age, horses were no longer just for the rich. Horses could move people and goods wherever steam locomotives could not, and horses could master the terrible buckboard roads, a bane of the 19th century. According to Wikipedia, Robert Thurston, a U.S. steam engine expert, opined in 1894 that horses are not only self-feeding, self-controlling, self-maintaining, and self-reproducing, they are far more economical than any other existing form of motor. It was during this time period that the horse and buggy became the backbone of 19th century life. Local livery operators in Kane flourished as the horse became the prime mover of both people and the everyday goods they consumed. Although trucks and automobiles would soon supplant the horse and wagon in the early 20th century, the close of the horse era came gradually to the hilltop. A story in the December 19, 1935 edition of the Kane Republican documented the beginning of the end. There may not be many tears shed when Kane's last water trough for horses is demolished soon, but the announcement that it is to be removed brought memories to many residents who enjoyed recalling days previous to the horseless carriages, when a return trip to Smithport was an all-day journey and going to Bradford meant an overnight trip. The last of the watering places at the intersection of Poplar Street and Wetmore Avenue is soon to be removed in the improvement to the approach to the new bridge over the Pennsylvania rail yards, the Republican reported. At one time, there were troughs also in front of what is now Walker Dairy Store at Fraley and Poplar Streets, one encircling a telegraph pole in the middle of what is now the concrete diamond below the Pensy tracks on Fraley Street, and another at the intersection of the Wilcox Road and Biddle Street. The four of them did not constitute anything like the number of gasoline stations in town today, but they served well their purpose and were used constantly by scores of horses, the paper reported. Local liveries began booming just before the great oil excitement, when the business of boarding privately owned horses, of hiring out horses for pleasure riding, for scouting in the oil fields, of renting a team and carriages for picnics, and of groups and surreys and teams for funerals was a profitable one. The Republican reported prices charged for saddle horses were never less than $1 per hour. If you hired a team for an afternoon, it was $5. And if you wanted to go to Smithport and back, the cost of the horse and vehicle would set you back $7. During this time, many livery barns were constructed in town, and every Saturday night, each one was crowded on the ground floor with the buckboards, various rigs, surreys, carriages, and other vehicles. And on a floor below, down an incline, horses were placed two to a stable to accommodate the Saturday night shoppers from the thriving nearby communities such as JoJo and other oil suburbs. Picnickers who flocked to the Kinzu Bridge on Sundays, by far the most popular destination, had to order a team and carriage at least a week in advance. At the peak of the horse era, there were five first-class livery operators on the hilltop, each one having more than 25 horses for hire. There was also an abundance of privately owned horses, as several scores of families owned driving horses that were boarded at various liveries. The Kane families had more than the others, the Republican reported. The late Dr. Evan O'Neill Kane in his two-wheeled buggy was a familiar sight answering doctor calls. And at night he rode horseback, never taking time to hitch up the cart. According to the Kane Republican, local fire rescuers still relied on horse-drawn wagons through the mid-1920s. By 1935, when the last of the watering troughs were removed, one local grocer and two local dairy farmers were still delivering their wares by horse-drawn wagons. But the memorable age of the horse and wagon would never return to the hilltop. Well, that's all for this week, friends. Please send your story ideas and suggestions to citizenkanepa@gmail.com. And thank you for listening.